1580 103.3 WPKY. It's a Friday around here, but we're celebrating my Africa coming to us, right?
Yes, yes. For this weekend, Meshack came back from South Africa. He is one of our friends that was here for the 2 weeks of Global Mission Match. And I'll let him share why he came back. I think folks will be interested in the whole process of the training, equipping, and the opportunities, and then what's going on here in America, so to speak, in relation to training, that somebody would get on a plane and spend 36 hours trying to get here for a men's conference.
Well, I will tell you, we've talked a lot about you in anticipation of you coming, because I don't know if you're aware, but during Bible school, which is for our little ones, we have that for our little kids, usually in the Baptist community, it's very popular. Every summer, we have Bible school. We learn about Meshach, Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's a Bible school song about it. Have you ever heard about these?
Yes.
Have you really?
I love that.
So do you have a brother named Shadrach?
My other brother, the one who's coming after me, his name is Abednego.
But we do not have Shadrach.
Oh my goodness.
We need to have one more, that. Right? I love that.
I will say this. I saw something the other day that, you know, the fourth man in the fire is the one that's important.
Mm-hmm.
But it said he won't show up in the fire until you don't bow. And there's too many people bowing in America today. If you don't bow, Jesus will show up in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Shadrach will show up in the U.S. in little old Princeton, Kentucky.
That's right.
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
So explain to everybody, especially for the ones that maybe didn't catch it the first time you were here, where you're from.
I am from South Africa. South Africa is the southern part of Africa.
Okay.
So we are at the bottom of Africa. So, but I'm staying in Johannesburg, which is the biggest city of South Africa. So I am staying there.
Okay.
And we are doing ministry there.
We've been
in ministry for over 20 years now.
Now, are you from there?
Yes, ma'am.
Originally?
Yes, ma'am.
Now,
yes,
are you from more of a city version? Or do you live out in what we would call out the sticks?
I'm staying in the city, but the church is in the township.
Okay.
We call it the township. That is where people are located and they stay. So,
but Meshach comes from the country, the farm, as a young man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's moved from the village into the township.
From the rural areas, yeah.
So what do you prefer? Do you prefer this out in nature, or do you prefer more in city?
I would say, I was talking to Brother Harold, and I say, I love this place, Kentucky, because it is mainly dominant by farmers.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I hear, I even visited some farm places, because I'm from a place where,
right,
you know, I grew up in a farmland, you know, doing farming. I don't like the city where it is too busy,
yeah,
you know, but at least I'm staying where I'm staying now, but it's not too busy.
Right.
It's one of the quiet suburbs,
yeah.
But then I do ministry in the township, but I don't really like the busy life. I love to be in a farming place.
The older I get, the more I can't even stand a traffic light in Princeton. You know what I mean? I want to be out in the middle of nowhere. I like it. I'm a country girl. I'm a farmer. That was my raising, and I still live out in the middle of nowhere. So I love it out there.
Mm.
How different is our landscape to what you're used to?
From here, from where you are, to me, there's no difference, because we still have these big machinery, you know, farmers who are doing farming in South Africa. We still have, you know, the landscape whereby you find vast land that is only farming. You know, you can only, like here, you find cities where life is too busy, but you find places and spaces where it is quiet, and then you can see the land. So it is quite really not much of a difference. You know, I enjoy here.
Well, I'll tell you the difference. Yeah,
go ahead.
The difference is when I go out my backyard, I see deer in my field.
Oh, yeah.
So when you go into your backyard, the animals look a little different. No, what do you see?
Not really.
So do you have giraffes and all of the things
there?
No.
We don't even see them.
Okay.
Such that there are children who do not even know how a giraffe looks like.
Oh, wow.
How a lion looks like. Is it because you only find them in the places where they are being kept. You know, there are places where they are just kept. That is only seen by, you know, the travelers, people who come, you know, tourists who come and then to those places because they are kept there. You can't even find, you know, even a rabbit, it's difficult that you can just see jumping like that, you know. So it's we don't seldom see them. Yeah.
The South Africa area is probably the most modernized area in Africa.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was colonized a long time ago, so there's a lot of advancement. As you can tell, their language outside of tribal is English, and so a lot of difference now. He travels in other areas in the African continent, and it is jungly. Yeah. And some of the villages where he's going are not modernized. I mean, they're like we've talked before. Yes. But as far as the big animals, they're not there. Most of those are in the central part of Africa, across from the Horn over to what they call East Africa.
Well, that usually with Americans, and like even with me, when we see anytime anybody says Africa, that's what we automatically think of, right?
They're singing the Lion King. Yeah.
We think Meshach's in the jungle, you know? That's what we're thinking. But do you have access to Bibles and literature there as like we do here?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
We do. Actually, it's a lot because South Africa is said to be 85% Christian dominant. You know,
That's what they say in America too.
Yeah.
That helps everybody.
So, but then the truth is, you find that amongst those people, they are nominal Christians. You know. So, but that is how it is. So we do have access to the Bible and the gospel is free. That's one thing that we are so glad about to God, that we don't have situations whereby you will be persecuted for being a Christian or for carrying a Bible.
That's
whatever.
Good.
So we've got other organizations that actually distribute Bibles, you know, in hotels, hospitals, and everything. You know, those are the organizations like the Gideons and other people. So so the literature is there. I was sharing with Brother Harold that even Samaritan Purse, that ministry has done very much good in South Africa.
Oh, good.
Because we use it to evangelize to children, which is what normally don't happen in many places, whereby children, nobody cares about them. So we want to catch them while they're still young. So we use the shoeboxes as an opportunity for the gospel to those kids. And then we use the material, as you are saying, the literature, then to now disciple them, so that we teach and train them. But we do a lot of work in terms of training the teachers, because to us, these shoeboxes is doing wonders in South Africa.
And for those that are gathering them here and collecting, he's been a part of the distribution. And the good thing, and we talked to her this morning, his wife actually serves with Samaritan's Purse and is doing translations for the villages for the material. So the box you send could just possibly have material put in the box that was translated by Meshach's wife, so that the people can read it and connect the dots. You know, as he's talking about training, of course, 2 weeks here, he called me about 3-4 weeks ago and he saw our flyer. So you Miss Tess, need to know they watch WPKY weekly with us and pick up our information. He wanted to know more about the men's conference. And so that's why he's here, which makes no sense to most people around here. So I think he probably ought to tell why he flew, did 36-hour trip to get to a men's conference at Dawson Springs at the 4-H camp in what we would call a primitive issue in the process.
Well, and when you think about that, too, when we talk about it, we were saying, you know, to take the day off on Thursday. We realized you got to take the day off. Yeah. He took the day off, Harold.
Oh, yes.
You've gone through a lot to get here for it.
Yes. I would say it takes a lot of grace to be able to minister to men. We know that men, according to God's plan, they are supposed to be leaders. They are supposed to be role models to their children. But I believe that also here in America, maybe it is the same, or maybe you can still find it in other areas. But I think it is more in Africa, whereby you find that a lot of families are led by single moms. And kids, they do not have fathers who are role models. But then we cannot keep pointing fingers. We've got to do something, especially we as pastors and we as leaders in the church. We've got to do something, because I believe that we are the hope for our countries, for our people, for our families. So when I saw this flyer, and then I said, my goodness, if these guys can be able to pull men and come together, so at least one can learn something there. Not only get knowledge, because knowledge without action equals to zero. So I said, then I have to get there so that I may have firsthand to learn and also interact with them, to learn from them, to get an impartation also as to how then one could then get what I'll be learning this week, and then go back home and take this seed and go and sow it in our men, to make sure that we gather men. I believe that maybe soon, and then these men will also come to Africa, so we can be able to put up a very big conference for men. You know,
right.
So it is more important, but sometimes it is not helping much that you bring them down there. It is good, but we as Africans, we've got to come learn and then go and do it in our country. So I saw that these men are doing such a great work, and then the last time we were here, they were part of the panel and the trainers that trained us. I saw their humility. I saw that God is using them mightily. Then I said, you know, if they can pull out this with men, then one needs to be there so that you can learn and also interact with them and get to know what God is doing. And I believe that my life will never be the same. And also for men in South Africa, they will never be the same.
Well, it's a movement almost. It's a lot of, in the Bible, you hear that, where they led a movement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what Meshach is talking about, that you want to lead a movement of a little different thinking.
Amen.
Right? And just change perspective.
Yes.
It's not completely uprooting everything you've ever known. It's just a change of perspective.
Yes. Yes.
So what are the numbers there? I mean, is it, why you laugh at me, Harold? So are the numbers where it's really upside down as far as full families there in South Africa?
Ma'am, we can't even talk numbers. It's really bad. It's really bad. The situation is bad.
Do you know what's causing it?
Yes. part of the cause, I think, is the way things have been structured in South Africa.
Okay.
I was sharing this morning during our breakfast with Brahara that one of the things is that young girls in South Africa, they actually voluntarily get children because they get some grant. You know, if you've got a child, there's a grant. You quote another one, they add that, you know, each and every child, for each and every child, you've got a grant. So now that is solving a problem with a bigger problem.
Yeah.
Because what happens is that now these girls, they get children with whosoever, as long as they get children.
Right.
So that they can get that grant. And that grant is too small to do anything. So now it becomes a problem because now these children are being raised with these single parents who does not even raise them, who are just doing it just to get that little grant, which is nothing. So it is really, really very, very bad.
So children are more of a means to an end versus a family structure.
All the issues in the world have now become global. Whatever your problem here is, it's a problem there. Mm-hmm. Whatever their problem there is with drugs or alcohol or family issues, outside of the grace of God and the gospel and the church surrounding it, there are no answers. And so it's become a global issue. And so training and equipping and encouraging folks in the answer is the only way.
Right.
He also did something that some other people probably ought to hear about today because they haven't done it yet. And I think you're one of them. But he had an opportunity to visit for just a few moments today, the prayer center.
I have not been to the prayer center yet.
And I think it was
Minnow.
I think it was very interesting, his perspective, when he visited. Now, you have to know that the temporary walls are down because we're taking them to the men's conference, but the center is still up. So what was your first thoughts on the prayer center itself, sir?
Wow. Now, I've seen one trying to do this place, but the first thing that I experienced is the presence and the peace that you experience the minute you get closer to that place. It's amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing. I told him maybe he just acted on obedience to do what God said, but he hasn't yet seen what God is gonna do through that place. I'm telling you, the minute you come closer to that place, it's different. It gives you something that you have never experienced before. The presence, you know, of God there. I told him, I said, this is a sacred place. We've always read about sacred place, altar. That is a true altar. Last week I was sharing about our intimacy with God as people, as believers. Then one of the things that I said, in order for us to rekindle that intimacy with God, we need to get back to the altar. So when I came closer to that, I said, my goodness, I spoke about this, but this is what now I see. I asked him, I said, how did you come up with this? How did it happen? Because, you know, things like this, they don't just happen. You must have really spent time with God to hear from him that what he's saying. Yesterday when I arrived, he was telling me that, you see, you've got to always listen to what God says and be where he is working. Then in that way, things are going to work well. So I experienced something so wonderful. I believe that a lot of people that will really be willing and obedient to get to that place, there's a lot that is going to happen. We're going to see families restored, people's lives restored in that place, because I'm telling you, the presence of God is there.
Well, historically,
the presence of God is there.
People have gone on for thousands of years, pilgrimages, just to go somewhere, to a specific place to pray. And that's something that people have done for thousands of years, you know, and they continue to do those things, and it's kind of what you just did. Amen. And I think that's pretty cool. And the more you get to know him, the more you'll know he doesn't plan a whole lot. He leaves a lot of opens. So that when
that
he does
figure
out.
For those of you that are listening, but it's not really. So
you just got to understand what. But he's like, what are you doing in 2 weeks?
I
don't know. And wherever I'm supposed to be. But he wants to be ready when things, you know, do pop up. And for the most part, has he met Terry Fant yet?
Terry's on the way. I go pick them up this afternoon. But he met Brother Terry at Global Mission Match.
Yes.
And that's one of the ones he was talking about, because we're working together with him and Brother Ronnie, who spoke. That's a catalyst to getting here.
I'm going
to
tell you what, you're going to love him. You and him are going to be like peas and taters.
I'm telling you, that man, you know, I still have a picture. One of the things that really pushed me to come, I said, when we were here, there was a time and a very significant thing that they did to us. They washed our feet.
Mm. Mm.
And I remember very well, Brother Terry is the one who washed my feet. So that is why I said, definitely I must be here. Not only to listen to what they do, to interact with them, but also to complete what God has started through his life in my life. Today and this week, I'm going to be getting my impartation. I know that my life will never be the same. No, I'm already in love with these guys. In together with Brother Ronnie, these men are so humbled. And one thing I love about the three of them, including this man sitting next to me, is because every one of them is running his race in his line. They don't fight. They don't try to be each other. They don't step on each other's toes. But they are running their race, but they are able to work together, which is a great lesson for us as men of God to do ministry, to be kingdom-minded, thinking about the kingdom, that together we can use our giftings and what God is using us, but we can bring it together to make sure that the kingdom of God expands. So I love it.
That the foot washing was kind of a normal thing. That was something they did back in the 50s, probably even in the 60s. Back in the old days, they used to do that all the time here. And now you don't hear that very often. And don't get me wrong, most of the time you don't want to hardly sit beside somebody anymore. I mean, is the way that it is. But it's that's a very humbling and intimate thing.
Yes.
And I just think that that's pretty cool. And I want you to enjoy our 4-H camp. I think when you're there, 4-H is all about families and kids.
Amen.
And when you get there, I think you're going to feel that and see that, because that's where our kids go. Every year they go and they love to make friends and they find their people. You know, they find people that are like them.
Yes.
And 4-H teaches them a lot. And it's a great organization. So I think it's kind of fitting that you're taking them out to the 4-H camp, because I think you're going to really get something out there.
For those that are listening and might want to know more or hear more, he will be at Lamasco Baptist Church Sunday morning for their morning service.
Okay.
I think it's at 10:45. And then at 6 o'clock, he will be at Oscar Baptist down in Ballard County if anybody wants to come. He's going to probably share and preach, more preaching than sharing, I'm sure, because he gets a little excited about that. So just be sure that people know that. And pray for the event. As you're listening to this, we will be in a dead heat with the men there at the 4-H camp and just looking for what God's going to do with that.
I just think it's going to be a fun thing. I think it's going to be kind of neat. And Rhonda and I were talking about it earlier, that we just think it's kind of cool that they're taking, taking the men's conference out there.
Yeah.
It's a great way to spend, you know, a couple of days and just kind of really get into what you're talking about. And I'm hoping, and I have no doubt, that you're going to learn and you're going to take it back.
Definitely.
And, you know, family is something that it sounds like South Africa needs, you know, that family structure.
I'm gonna set it with spending some time before I leave at the sinner's place, and you know, where I'll just pray and seal everything. I'll just spend time there, to make sure that when I get back, South Africa will never be the same.
I think he's gonna go on a pilgrimage and start a movement and do all the things, Harold.
Yes, sir.
He's
well,
Africa you.
Yeah, well, amen.
I
don't know about that. Hopefully not. But anyway, we're praying about October, trying to get some things settled for another global mission match. May, we're headed to potentially close to his area. We'll see. Guaranteed. And he and his wife are probably going to come join us in Kenya in August. So continue to pray for the process. And
do you keep up with the other guys that were here?
Yes, they've created a group for us. That's where we normally keep in touch. But I also call some, you know, just make a call, because we made a promise when we were there that, guys, let us then from here build relationships, because it's not all about local church or local church with the United States churches, but also amongst ourselves in Africa. We can make it big. We can make it stronger.
I'll tell you, there's a fellow that was here that I have had in my head ever since he's been here. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you when we get off the air about how he's doing, because there's always a few people that, and I looked at you and I was like, oh, there's you one right there. He's going to do it.
She's probably talking about Douala.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
He's a unique man.
Is he doing okay?
Yes, it's a tough place where he's at, but he's doing good.
Yes, doing good.
Well, and when he was talking about where he's from and what they go through on the daily, I mean, they're just to go get water is more like, you know, fighting a battle.
And there's a lot of things that he won't tell you publicly because of the dangers and the circumstances that they're in the midst of. But if there's anybody that was here that's making an impact, he is definitely one of them that is on the forefront of making an impact in the kingdom.
Yes. Well, he made an impact on me. I didn't forget about
that. He's the real deal. That's the best way to put it. He's genuine. Yeah. He's genuine.
So shoeboxes are important, right, in your area?
Oh, very important.
Okay.
Very important.
So continue to do that. That's actually, I love hearing about some of the ministries that we do here in some of our churches, and our folks work really hard on doing that are working, and that you say, you know, look, this is something we need.
Actually, at this time, it is the season where the trainings for the teachers is happening. My wife was training about 150 teachers for children's ministry last weekend, and they are continuing because they've got teams. I think they've got about four teams, that all of them, they'll be training about 150 of those teachers. And then it's that season where the boxes are coming, that now the ministry is working. No, this is one. The last time I spoke to Lamasco and also First Baptist, because I went, because they are the collecting, they are the collecting and distributing, sending out a place. I said to them, you know, this ministry in South Africa, there's no ministry that is competing with it as far as children's ministry is concerned. These shoeboxes is doing wonders in South Africa.
What are some of the pieces inside the shoeboxes that the kids just really, that mean a lot to them? Is there anything in the box that kind of stands out?
Oh yes, because mainly it is school. It's all about school. The pencils and about school. Yeah.
Okay.
You get everything. Actually, there are children that are able to go to school using all of the things that comes from the shoebox.
Wow.
All of it's like that is all they need. So we have some testimonies where children would just get a toothbrush.
Uh-huh.
Then when they get that toothbrush, they would be running and say, I've got a toothbrush, because some of them, they get it for the first time in their lives.
Aww.
Because there are other areas whereby they can't get
anything.
So for them, those things that are there, they are so valuable to our children.
Okay.
So we really appreciate what the churches here have been doing in terms of collecting those shoeboxes. We are excited.
That. Yeah, which could be a whole nother vein of conversation.
Right. Mm.
Students here, there are very few that hunger after school, education, those kind of things. Mm. There are literally thousands of people across Africa that to have a notepad and a pencil so somebody can teach them something changes absolutely everything.
Well, see, we don't think about that. If you're in a city type of environment, we don't think about that. We think about that out where the giraffes are in the jungle,
it's
right?
Everywhere.
We don't think about that the people inside the city are in that kind of need.
Mm.
And that's why I'm glad we're talking about that, because I think it changes your mindset on where these supplies are going.
Oh, yes.
And what they need. Mm. And so the next time we have crayons laying all over the table and we're not paying attention, that's frivolous, you know, for us. And We don't think about those things.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. I've loved you being here. And now we gotta meet his wife.
Yeah.
I now want to meet
coming.
His wife.
We had that conversation this morning. She's coming. She was a little bit mad, but we've got her fixed.
Well, I don't blame her.
Well, she hadn't been able to hear from him, and she's over there, and It's a long way, and yeah. and to sacrifice to come is a blessing. For those of you who are listening today, I know it's not Tuesday. We'll be back next week to tell you what happened in the midst of all this. But we're thankful because Meshach's here today to be able to come on and be a part of what's going on with you, Miss Tess, because it's good for people to hear.
Yeah.
And we're grateful for Edge Media and giving HR the opportunity to always share.
We thank you for listening to us in Africa.
Oh, yes.
I'm telling you, that kind of blows our mind. But we got to make sure we tell those flyers every time you're in here so that they can see. You tell Abednego we said hello.
I will. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you for having me. And then we really appreciate the opportunity to always come here. And then I was saying to Prahara, now Kentucky is my second home.
Oh, we love you.